This Fred and Jeff Show podcast is brought to you by Five Star Pest Control, Anthony's Cigar Emporium, and Arizona Party Rental.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeff.
That is 100% accurate, Fred.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com.
Please.
Follow us on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Like us on Facebook. Do you know what last week was? Last Thursday, 3 days ago?
It was the 12th?
National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Arr! It was it? Was it now?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So, and funny enough, I'm a pirate fan.
I know, and they're still in the tank, aren't they?
No!
They're like circling the drain.
No, they're not. They're like a game out of first place.
Wow.
Behind the dreaded Cardinals.
Wow. Exciting. Exciting.
Hoist the Jolly Roger.
So, Jeff, here's a trivia question for you.
Oh, more with that first one wasn't a trivia question?
No, it's just, you know, that
okay,
was just
go ahead,
silliness.
Go ahead. I'm so
okay,
excited.
Who are Finley and Ronan?
Finley and Ronan?
Finley and Ronan. Who are Finley and Ronan?
Well, Ronan is a samurai that doesn't have a master anymore. And Finley is a lady that used to run a beer distributor here in Tucson.
Wrong and wrong. Finley and Ronan.
I'm right, correct? I'm correct, thank you.
Okay, well, we should introduce, our guest is coming in a little bit early today, Jim Turner, who is the show historian, is in the studio with us. But Finley and Ronan, in this context, my dear brother,
yes,
are the new grizzly bears
at
the Reed Park Zoo. And they just got released out into the exhibit this last week.
Do you, my dear brother Fred, my lovely older brother Fred, have any idea how much stuff is going on at the Reed Park Zoo?
Yes, I do, because I have some of it here in front of me.
Holy mackerel. You know they've got a new zoo administrator, a gentleman by the name of Jason Jacobs. So he's now running the zoo.
Nice.
And you not only do we have two new bears, we also have lemurs. Lemurs are running around at the zoo now.
That is true.
As well.
We talked about those before, I think.
That's right.
We did.
So we got lemurs and bears and Fred. Oh, my.
All right, Jeffrey.
But don't stop there. Let's talk about the Howl-O-Ween event that's coming up in October at the zoo.
Yes.
And then you've got Zoo-Son, the 20th anniversary of Zoo-Son.
That's right. That's on my list.
Which is on October 12th. And not to be outdone, Zoo Lights in December. As well as...
Are they still going to have snow and cocoa?
Snow and cocoa. I know they're going to have cocoa. I don't know about snow. I don't know if she's available. But cocoa will definitely be there. Got you there, didn't I, Fred?
No.
Yes.
All right, so...
But wait, there's more.
At the zoo?
Young Explorers programs for 6 to 12-year-olds. They start on the 29th of this month, 8:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock. And then they have more on the 13th. And in November, so Young Explorer programs at the zoo. And then they've got some behind-the-scenes tours in November, photo safaris in October, Little Critters programs for preschoolers. The next one is October 7th. I don't know if you were there at the ice cream safari that was a week or so ago, but that was good times as well. So check out the Reed Park Zoo.
It is a wondrous place.
And the first person that can send Fred an email at fred@fredandjeff.com to tell us whose lovely mug is on the bronze plaque out in front of the zoo, whose lovely face is on that plaque, we will send a dozen roses from Mayfield's Florist.
Very nice. Very
right.
Nice.
And Fred, do you know who that is the face of?
Yeah, because I was the one who helped get it there.
Very cool. So lots of things happening at the zoo, folks. Go to the zoo.
And we also have to give a little shout-out to our uncle, who just celebrated his 102nd birthday yesterday.
Can you believe that? Uncle Oscar Montaño, yeah?
Wow, yeah. It was
102 years old.
102 years old.
And you ask him, how old are you, Oscar? And he said, well, I'm younger than my tongue, but older than my teeth.
Very nice. So there's a lot of stuff going on in Tucson, and if you go to fredandjeff.com...
Well, there's more!
Well, I have. It's all sitting in front of me.
Let's tell people.
I mean, there's cool stuff going on. Like, we should do like a letter-writing campaign or an email campaign to Chuck Huckleberry at the county. But Damian Klinko,
yeah,
who has been on the show, is talking about some historic preservation. There's now move on to get the time and temperature clock fixed and running on top of the old Tucson Federal Savings Tower near Stone and Pennington.
That'd be super cool.
Because I remember growing up all the time, you didn't need to carry a watch. Nope. You just looked downtown.
And there
time
it was.
Time and temperature.
That's right.
Right there.
Yeah, that's very cool. And, you know, they're having a big event. I ran into a young lady by the name of Elizabeth, and I can't remember her last name. Darn it. She's a
Queen Elizabeth?
Landscape architect.
Oh.
And super nice. My buddy Mike Doucette introduced me to her. Elizabeth, if you're listening, I'm sorry I can't remember your last name, but we'll remember it for next week's show and on the website. But they're doing a bunch of fun stuff in conjunction with the historical preservation folks in Tucson. So, folks, go to fredjeff.com. We'll have links to all the cool things that your neighbors are out there trying to do to save the historic buildings in our community.
Absolutely. The Merry Wives of Windsor, Shakespeare in the Park over at Himmel Park is coming up.
Fun.
Happy Tuesday. This week at the Loft, 9 o'clock Tuesday night at the Loft,
right,
is the Lonely Hearts Club.
Nice.
Led by Bridget Thumb. Send her your letters saying how somebody broke your heart, and she'll give you a humorous
Can you give
response.
Us an idea, Fred, of give us an idea of what they should send?
Dear Bridget, my brother is something.
Is so much cooler than I am that it breaks my heart.
So it's always cool. So it's like Lila meets Martha Quinn. So she takes these letters, she responds, and then she dedicates a video, and they're very cool. Jeff, the Sons of Orpheus. You know who those guys are.
Hello. Who are they, Fred?
They're a group of men who sing brilliantly.
Yes.
They're having tryouts now.
Cool.
Every Wednesday for the next few Wednesdays from 7 to 9, if you go to the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Hall at 5779 East Pima, you can audition to be a member of the Sons of Orpheus. And Oktoberfest is kicking off up in Mount Lemmon Ski Valley.
Love the Oktoberfest.
So every Saturday and Sunday through October 13th up at Ski Valley, enjoy some fine, fine, fine Oktoberfest fun.
Love Oktoberfest. By the way, my friend's name is Elizabeth Montgomery. So, sorry, Elizabeth. From Box Hill Design. Super good people.
September 28th at the Fox Theater.
Oh, sorry, Fred. Were you talking?
Yeah, September 28th at the Fox Theater. There's a benefit concert for St. Demetrius.
For Mr. Kite?
Fire benefit.
There's a benefit for Mr. Kite. Remember that, Fred?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry.
It's wrong.
Go ahead. There's a benefit for who?
Well, it's Mr. Kite, but the lyrics, you missed them up a little bit. There's a fire benefit concert for St. Demetrius at the Fox Theater on Saturday, September 28th, a week from yesterday, featuring Bill Contos and Mari Falcone and the Jim Howell Band. It's a big fundraiser to help out the fire damage St. Demetrius that we missed out on the Greek festival this year.
Right.
But we can still run around saying Opa.
But didn't so. Efkaristo, Fred.
Oh.
Then you're supposed to say Parapoli. Don't you remember that?
No.
Efkaristo, Parapoli. Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, I know Italian, not Greek.
Oh, really? How do you say thank you in Italian?
Grazie.
And you're welcome?
Prego.
I'm very impressed with you, Fred.
There you go.
Very impressed.
Yeah, I intend on retiring in southern Italy, so.
Yeah, very nice.
So, there's still.
Well, don't stop there.
Tucson Meet Yourself, their 40th anniversary
exactly.
is coming up.
Exactly.
Feast with the Dearly Departed at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, October 26th. Our friend of the show, Fonda Inslee, is coming on to talk about the All Souls procession.
Right. Let's not forget about those U of A football cats.
Yeah, they don't have a home game till the middle of next month, I think.
That's right, but they're looking pretty darn good right now.
Yes, they are.
That was a lot of fun, the game last weekend.
Yeah, so all sorts of stuff coming up in the Old Pueblo.
And let's not forget about our friends to the south who just had a bumper crop of wine grapes that they harvested.
Oh, down in Sedona?
Yeah, well, all in southern Arizona. So the guys in Wilcox, all over the place. Lots and lots and lots of fun things are going to start happening down south now that they've got the big...
You mean fun things like drinking wine?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That's
so cool. Now that they've got all the big harvest in, and they thought they were going to lose a lot of their grapes because of the late monsoons. Didn't happen. It didn't damage their crops too bad.
Very nice.
So, yes, so that's happening.
Well, you know, that means that all the time I spent out there holding the umbrella over the vines worked.
Over the one plant.
Over the one plant.
Your one favorite grape.
Yeah.
It survived, Fred.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So there's that, and then wait, my last thing that I want to share with everybody before we get into the meaty content of the big show is, folks, about a month or so ago, you'll remember that we had the gentleman on from Startup Tucson.
Correct.
Remember that, Fred?
Yes.
A great show, Startup Tucson. Well, tonight at Tucson Electric Park, the Tucson Electric Power headquarters at 88 East Broadway Boulevard.
Now, that's the Unisource building downtown.
That's correct. It's at 88 East Boulevard. From 5 to 9 is the Startup Tucson Shark Tank, the final pitches from Startup Weekend, which has happened all this weekend. So you can go down there, and at 5 o'clock, they're opening the doors tonight. 6 o'clock, the final pitches begin for all these families that created these businesses. So 6 to 8, their final pitches. Then at 8, the feedback. And then 9 o'clock, they're going to have a big after party. So, folks, if you want to see some great family fun, these folks, these families have gotten together this weekend and put these whole programs together, and tonight they're going to pitch their ideas, their businesses. So head down to the Tucson Electric headquarters downtown.
Unisource building.
The Unisource building, and catch a lot of this fun because these guys are doing a lot of great things downtown.
Cool.
And then I forgot to tell you, did you hear about Tap and Bottle? The restaurant downtown?
Yes.
Chosen as one of the best beer bars, beer establishments in the western United States. So another feather in the cap of downtown.
And they've just been open months.
Yeah, not too long.
Wow.
So Tap and Bottle, fun place to go. So now, if you guys, you know, you're hanging out at Tap and Bottle, you totally need to go check out 1702 because their lineup of beers is crazy good.
Phenomenal.
And this whole beer culture. Remember we had the guys from Borderlands Brewery and Dragoon.
You know, the thing I like about our friend over at...
Austin
Santos over at 1702.
Right.
I mean, well, any of the staff there. You sit at the bar, you sit at the table, and you may not know exactly what beer's available, but I'll go in there and say, you know, I want just something dark that I can eat with a fork or drink with a fork.
I'll have it.
Bam, bring it.
Yep.
They have recommendations. They have so many varieties that your flavor palette profile can be
will
matched
be
by.
Fulfilled.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so visit Austin, say hi, say that you listen to Fred and Jeff show.
Say and tell him you don't know why, but you do.
But you do. And he'll say, oh, those guys are still in the air?
I know that because people keep showing up with $25 gift certificates.
Yeah, that's right.
So thanks, Austin. All right, so we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some more fun and information here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Someone told me it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. I do believe it's true.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contractors, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and the Downtown Tucson Partnership.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah, what were we just talking about? That break went way too fast. And now I can't remember what we were talking about. Oh!
No, but I was laughing because I totally forgot.
That we're the Fred and Jeff Show. Welcome. No. 104.1 The Truth. Thanks for tuning in.
No, that we're not supposed to say welcome back anymore.
Oh, yeah. I was so... I my brain is not working on this beautiful Sunday morning. Oh, I know what it is. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning into the Fred and Jeff Show. I'm Jeff Ronstadt with my older...
More good-looking brother Fred.
Fred, yes, my older, smarter brother Fred. And you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check out the old website, fredandjeff.com, to listen to past shows. But One of the things that I forgot in the prior segment was that the Rotary Club that I'm in, the Tucson Rotary Club, the Downtown Rotary Club, we are having our big car show at St. Greg's School.
Beep.
Yeah, it's happening third weekend in October, so I know that's a ways away, but please get some tickets. They're $5, and here's the cool thing, Fred. That a ticket's $5, and the ticket gets you in, and
a raffle, right?
Is also a raffle for, it's either like $10,000 or a super cool old Corvette. So we'll put the website on the Fred and Jeff Show page because I got to sell tickets. Last year I was a bum and I had to buy all my tickets. This year I'd like to sell some tickets to some person out there who might be lucky enough to win the $10,000 and maybe take you and I to 1702 for a beer.
Very nice.
Cool. Very, so very thanks, nice. Folks. If you support us, that'd be great. Because all the money that we raise, 100% of the proceeds goes to literacy, the reading seed. Number two goes to the neonatal unit at St. Joe's Hospital to help preemie babies like Fred. AJ, your oldest, was premature.
Yes, he was.
And that little incubator that they rolled AJ around in as he cooked in there for a while before they let him go home. We're going to buy them some of that stuff. And so the money stays here in Tucson. Very important to help our neighbors.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So Tucson Rotary Club, good job, my fellow Rotarians.
Yay. So we are back, and you know
that was kind of a half-hearted yay, Fred.
All right. Good going.
Yay.
Now, right. We should just have a Rotary show one day, and talk about what Rotary is and what it does, because people don't recognize or understand or know half the things.
The Rotarians.
A quarter of the things that Rotarians are up to.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, Alfredo, is if you took the Rotarians, the Optimists, the Lions, the Elks, the Knights of Columbus, the Shriners.
All of these philanthropic service organizations.
Yeah, not just the Conquistadors or the Centurions, but who are big organizations, big and angel charities. If you took all these organizations, the amount of good that our neighbors do, these folks do in our community.
Time, talent, and treasure.
Absolutely.
They're investing in this community like you cannot believe.
And we cannot thank those folks enough for helping. I mean, it's basically neighbors helping neighbors. So thanks for everything that you do. If you're one of those groups or any other group and you're helping out your neighbor, we want to hear about it because we want to say thank you.
Absolutely. Now, we have in studio with us a friend of the show historian, Jim Turner, who has a really cool book called Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. But, Jim, we just have a few more minutes before the break, and I keep on, you know, Jeff and I love Colin Tucson, the old Pueblo.
Yes.
And, you know, and
because it is the old Pueblo.
It is the old Pueblo.
We're the old Pueblo, yeah.
Yeah, because there's some monkeys in this town who think that maybe we should change that. But we are fixed and firm.
I wonder if those people are from this town.
I don't think they are.
Huh, interesting.
Anyways, I keep on...
Or will that's right. You know what? And you know what, folks? Jim is not only a published author of Arizona History, but you were the man on the spot with the Arizona Historical Society. You were the
historian.
Yeah, yeah, you were the historian for the Arizona Historical Society.
I finally figured out who it was that told the story, and I keep on butchering it. But before we hit the break...
There's a shocker.
Yeah, that is a shocker. Before we hit the break, we need to hear the story about how Tucson became the old Pueblo.
Old Pueblo?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I can do it in a few minutes.
Oh, we have time.
We've got plenty of time.
Let's do it. When the railroad came to town, the mayor, Bob Leatherwood...
And what year was this?
1880.
Okay.
It was March 20th, 1881, sorry. March 20th, 1881. And that's the big deal. And so they wanted to make a big deal out of it. They had ceremonies, and the mayor was so excited that he sent out telegrams to everybody saying that we were now connected to the civilized world. Well, he sent one to the Pope and, you know, mayors of Los Angeles and all these others. And you know how telegraphs work is they relay it from one station to the next about 40 miles away or as much as the electrical power current will take it.
So telegraphs back in the day are very similar to playing the telephone game with your kids where
it
you whisper
changes.
Something in the ear And as it goes around...
That's not what happened here.
Okay.
Some smart aleck, maybe one of your ancestors, because you've got the genes for smart aleck. So he sent out...
I take great offense to that,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, you don't deny it. You're not denying it,
though. No, of course not.
No, so some smart aleck down the line wrote back, His Holiness the Pope is honored to know that you are now... Part of Tucson is now connected to the civilized world by the railroad, but begs to ask, where the hell is Tucson? So they put it in the paper, and the mayor called it the Ancient and Honorable Pueblo. And the newspapers didn't want to type that every time, so they started calling it the A&H Pueblo. Well, nobody who was not a longtime Tucsoner would know what that meant. So then they switched it, probably in the 1920s when they had the Tucson Sunshine Climate Club bringing people in. They switched it from the Ancient and Honorable to the Old Pueblo. But
that's a cool story.
I love that story.
That's a cool story.
And it's better, you tell it better than I do.
Well, Fred, there aren't many stories that you tell better than anyone.
That's true.
But that's a good story.
Yep.
So it was originally the Ancient and Honorable Pueblo.
And then it went to A&H.
A&H, then the Old Pueblo.
Then the Old Pueblo.
Well, I'm one person that likes the Old Pueblo.
Yeah, so am I.
There you go. So
imagine how many companies would have to change their name. You know, Old Pueblo Carpeting, Old Pueblo Pest Control, whatever it might be.
Well, they wouldn't change their names, but it would ring.
It wouldn't indicate.
It wouldn't make the same. It wouldn't mean the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Well, in the 1970s, the newspaper had a contest to change the nickname, and the winner was the Sunshine Factory.
Right, I remember that one.
And the poor reporters said, they made us use that in our stories. It lasted about 6 months. It sounded like the Spaghetti Factory.
Oh, yeah.
So when I got a call...
Which is actually very popular in the 70s.
Yeah, it was. When I got a call from a news reporter who wanted to TV, and I happened to be in the White Mountains in Lakeside at the time, I said, I can't do an interview. But contact the folks... And I named a couple of people who were at the Star in 1974 and asked them what they think about changing the name of Tucson and ask them about the Sunshine Factory, because it ain't going to happen.
It's not going to fly.
No, it's not going to happen.
I love it.
No, no.
I love it when these people have contests to rename.
Yeah.
And you always get some you know, person out there saying, well, we should call it the Land of Fairies or something silly.
Something off the wall.
That's a great idea. I just saw that movie. We should totally name it. Oh, boy. All right, folks, we got to take a break. It's the bottom of the hour. We have lots more fun here with our friend Jim Turner. So stick around for more on Friend Jeff Show. The Fred Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Garden Service, Mayfield Florist, and Arizona Party Rental.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to the Old Pueblo Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah, we should rename our show the Ancient and Honorable
Fred and Jeff Show. So welcome back. We are Fred and Jeff. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating all the great cool stuff about the Ancient and Honorable Pueblo that we call home.
Yeah.
So with us is Jim Turner, who is a retired historian from the Arizona Historical Society.
Still working, though.
And elsewhere, yeah.
Are you working at the Historical Society?
No, but I'm still a historian for research and I give talks.
Well,
if you have a club that needs a talk.
That's a great, great, great point. If folks want you to come out to their club, like earlier we were talking to maybe you would come to the Rotary Club next year if you would, you know, grace us with your presence.
Sure.
How can folks get a hold of you if they want you to come out and talk about some sort of historical thing that happened here?
You can go to my website, www.jimturnerhistorian.org.
Awesome.
And that's got a link to my email, and there you are.
And you can also take a look at your really cool book that you published.
Yep.
Called Arizona, a Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. And that, you know, Jim, we didn't talk about this in detail before the break, but that book is just so cool. It's full of awesome pictures, and I think you took most of them, if not all.
No, I took about a third.
A third of them?
Yeah.
And just the stories, the history that fills those pages is really cool. I mean, someone who's been here for multiple generations, like my brother and I and our mm-hmm. family, and or people who are just showing up, you know, today or last week. It's filled with all sorts of really cool stuff that you just don't get. You know, we have Jim Griffith, come on.
Yeah.
And he's the community's folklorist.
Right.
So a lot of his stuff is fictional.
Yeah.
Or partially fictional.
Well, absolutely. Jim, when I first met him, he said, "My job is easier than yours. You have to stick to the truth."
Right.
He says, "I just tell people what people tell me. I have to make sure it's true, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and he's funny with that stuff too.
Gosh.
I think he shouldn't be known as Tucson's folklorist.
Uh-huh.
He should be known as Tucson's embellisher.
Yeah.
Because he loves those stories. I mean, he brings out all the great, you know, you can taste a Big Jim Griffith story.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Yeah. And so if somebody wants to know the facts about the Old Pueblo and Arizona, they need to pick up this book and take a look at it. So, you know, we're sort of ending, you know, one of the things that happens with the show is Jeff and I learn things.
Yeah.
If we want to or not, we learn things. And one of the things is that Tucson, the Sonoran Desert, experiences five seasons. Typically, you know, a winter, fall, spring, and then a wet summer, or dry summer, then a wet summer.
Yeah.
And we're just exiting out of the wet summer. We had a modest monsoon season, I guess we can call it that.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of stories about...
When I do histories, and, you know, I give talks and people say, well, do a talk for August that has a theme. So my theme for August was monsoons, because I think, you know, I think July was tourism or what people do to stay out of the heat in the summer. But August is really monsoons. So when I do research, I always like to go back as far back as I possibly can. I like to say my history is like James Michener. I start with a spinning ball of molten lava, and then the continents are formed. And so with monsoons, you need to go back to Tohono O'odham, because that's the earliest celebrations of the monsoons and people who really revered the monsoons and were lucky enough that we had an author that lived in Tucson for his health, Harold Bell Wright.
Yes.
And we've got Harold Bell Wright Estates, where the streets are named after characters from his books. He was a best-selling author. One year, he outsold Mark Twain.
Wow.
But he had a ranch down by Sells, and he would sit around the campfire with his ranch hands, and some of them were Tohono O'odham. So he got those legends recorded. And so... that book came out in the 1920s. It's called Long Ago Told, and it's got all these stories about the rain and about the waterfall and all of those things. Now, the problem is you cannot tell those stories when the snakes are out, which means we're right on the edge here. Snakes are out in spring and summer,
right?
And then they hibernate in the winter, being cold-blooded or whatever. I'm sure some herpetologists can tell me I've got it all wrong, but... I asked my friend Angelo Joaquin, who is Pima Indian, I said, will we get in trouble? Because all sorts of bad things are supposed to happen to you if you tell these stories when the snakes are still out. And he said... That's part of their
belief.
Their history, their belief system.
Oh, goodness.
And so I said, does this apply to Anglos? He says, oh, yes. He says, you may not think so, but maybe something will go wrong with your car. And Fred just picked me up from the mechanic, and the bill is like three times what I thought it was going to be.
Happy
so
day.
Maybe I'm not supposed to tell this story. You know, maybe that's all the deal.
Oh,
but,
no.
So there is a story of their ceremony and their saguaro wine, which is the ceremony that they do. And this is a translation. And I'm going to get some of it wrong, because like the Navajo with their sand paintings, they don't believe those should be on display. But if they do something wrong and it's not correct, then the gods aren't offended. So I'll make sure that I don't do this exactly right.
Now, why aren't sand paintings supposed to be displayed?
They are for medicine only, and they're only for the medicine man and the person who is sick to see, and then they're destroyed.
So a sand painting is part of the healing ritual?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and each one is done for the particular person and the particular illness that they have. And it might be a soul illness. It might not be a physical illness, but they're not supposed to put them on display. Nobody else is supposed to see your sand painting that the medicine man did just for you.
Yeah, I remember at one time, I think early 80s, maybe late 70s, when sand paintings sort of became vogue.
You could get a kit to make your own
and that kind of stuff. And I remember that there was sort of an outcry about,
absolutely.
About that.
There are actually also rugs that have been woven by Navajo, but again, that have a sand painting motif. But again, they won't be perfect because that way it's not going to endanger
anybody. It's not offending
the
gods.
Yeah, it's not going to endanger anybody.
All right.
You know? So here's the story. Long ago, Dust Devil, which is a person or a god or a demigod.
Now, before you continue, this is whose perspective is this?
This is the Tohono O'odham legend of the monsoons, basically. Long ago, Dust Devil attacked the daughter of a powerful Tohono O'odham man. Enraged by his act, her father and his neighbors drove the wind away. So the Dust Devil is kind of like Batman and Robin. Dust Devil is connected with the wind god. But while departing, the wind took away his blind friend, the rain. And so for 4 years, no rain fell. And hence the earth became empty of water and withered. When they could not stand the heat, the Tohono O'odham told the hummingbird to find wind and rain and beg them to return. The bird flew across the earth until he saw it downstairs and found wind and rain in an ocean. So I just came back from the beach. I got a feeling that's where the rain is, California, on the beach, you know.
Do you blame him?
Yeah, that's why we don't have it in right. June. It's over there. The wind said, tell our relatives, if they want us, they must sing for us for 4 nights. So that's how the ceremony. We will return when they finish the ceremony. So in late July or August, when they're sick of the drought, then they do this ceremony. Hummingbird returned and conveyed the message to the Tohono O'odham. The people decided they needed to make the wind forget their harsh words. Hence, they made Nawait. And that's N-A-W-A-I-T, which is the translation. It's saguaro wine. The Nawait is closely related to the arrival of summer rains and the harvest of sweet red fruits from the saguaro cactus. Because as you know, the saguaro blossoms come out in June.
Right.
And in late July and August is when the red fruit is up there on top of the saguaros. So what they do, people from several villages are invited together at a ceremony to sing, dance, and drink Nawait around the clock. So they have this wine festival, like Oktoberfest, but this is Augustfest, I guess you would call it. Ritual speakers welcome the rains, bring forth fruits and seeds, and they prepare the earth for planting beans and squash, corn beans and squash. So that's the ceremony. That's the ceremony to bring rain. Now, isn't it ironic that the rain comes in August and they just happen to plan their ceremony right when the rain is going to come anyway? You know, it's just like...
Well, how do we know that it comes now because of them?
That's true. That's true. Well, we don't. We don't know. And there was a problem. They performed these ceremonies, or they did these ceremonies to bring the rain up until about 1914. And the rain was coming fine. And then I'm not sure why they stopped doing it, but there were factions of the Tohono O'odham, some conservative, some got into cattle ranching. They were not as interested in the rains because it wasn't as necessary for the farming. But in the 1920s, there were some major droughts, and they started to practice this wine ceremony again. Well, what else happened nationwide in the 1920s?
Was depression.
Prohibition.
Oh.
And they got busted for wine ceremonies, not by the federal prohibition office, but by the local Office of Indian Affairs officials. Threw them in jail, 60 days, 30 days the first offense, 60 days for the second. And they were just outraged. The Tona Atam were saying,
and this is our ritual.
This is in 1921. They didn't get any rain in 22 and 23. And they said, hey, it's your fault that there's no rain. And meanwhile, the officials are not giving them relief funding because they were continuing to try to farm and not raise cattle. So
okay, we got to take our last break of the hour.
Sure.
But the story's great. The history is great. So, folks, we'll be right back to finish our history with Jim Turner. So stick around for more on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Woman Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and 1702 Craft Beer and Pizza.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth.
And welcome back. This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating all the great stuff going on in our backyard here in the Old Pueblo.
That's right.
And we invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And Jeffrey, if
yes,
you go
Fred.
To jimturnerhistorian.org, you can pick up a copy of a kick-butt book called The Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State.
It is a great book.
And it was written and partially photographized by our guest today, Jim Turner. Friend of the show and the show historian.
So, Jim, let's get back to your story about the autumn.
Yeah.
The two questions I have for you. And folks, mm-hmm. if you're just tuning in, Jim is telling us a story of the monsoons. And one of the things in your story that I thought was very interesting was that the rain is the wind's blind friend.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yep.
Any history on why?
No.
They always thought
that's
they
called, all I got on that one. Sorry.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that would be something to ask Big Jim.
Yeah, we should ask Big Jim that one. Why is the rain blind?
Yeah.
In autumn history.
So well, maybe the wind leads
or bunny.
Him. The wind is here first. You know, we get
and
the big
drags
wind
him along.
And he drags him along.
So get back to the story of so in the 20s during Prohibition,
right.
The folks here, they have their wine festival, they get thrown in jail.
Right.
And then pick it up from there.
Well, and they did their time, but they continued, and eventually they got legal help from a legal aide up at Fort McDowell, the Yavapai. And so they went to Washington, D.C. And meanwhile, the commissioner of the Office of Indian Affairs is saying, let's back out of this right now. But they did. They had a federal jury hearing, and these guys got more time in jail. And but the office.
Wait, so the Fed even upheld the ruling
yes.
that they were they were in the wrong.
Meanwhile,
having this
federal prohibition office pardoned them because they said this is a religious
ceremony,
service. And like Catholics or anybody else, they had permission. But the locals said, "Well, it would undermine our authority if we pardoned them right now."
Oh,
so they served the time, but. What it did was they raised money at every village to get them to go to Washington, D.C. for a delegation to see President Coolidge. And it got all these little villages to unite in causes. And so only in that way did it help anybody at all.
So when were they able to do their next?
Well, you know, I didn't follow it up, but of course Prohibition is over in,
right.
what, 32, so.
When, how were the monsoons permission. During the 20s? Were they just non-existent?
Didn't follow it. I
oh.
didn't follow it. This is as much as you
See,
get.
If you were Jim Griffith, you say, oh, it was a dust bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if I were still in the graduate school, I would make this into a seminar paper, and then you'd get like 600 pages or something like that.
Well, that's too much for our show.
No.
But I'm so curious because the parallel is amazing. And it might be anecdotal. I mean, it might, you know.
Sure.
But it's an amazing, amazing coincidence.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was San Juan's Day, though, because that overlaps with the Tohono O'odham ceremony. San Juan's Day is June 24th, and I've got a couple. Let me get to my notes on this. in Europe, and this goes way back in Europe, it celebrates St. John the Baptist, and they always have water ceremonies. They're midsummer festivals, and this is one of those things where when Catholics came into Europe and England and Germany in particular, they would find a ceremony that was already there and attach a Catholic connection to it. So they were already having a midsummer festival, and they said, well, we're just going to adapt that and make it St. John's Day. So it's all water related, because in England or Ireland, they don't have to worry about droughts, you know.
Right.
I had an Irish friend who said, this would be a great country if they put a canopy over it, because it just rains all the time. But in pre-Christian times, they had festivals. But then when the Catholics came in, St. John's fires were lighted on the mountains on hilltops on the eve of the fest, June 24th. And it's considered in ancient folklore to be one of the great charmed festivals of the year. And this is the great part that I wish I'd known about years ago. Hidden treasures are said to be lie open in lonely places on St. John's Day. So if you want to go treasure hunting, St. John's Day is the day to do it. And you should cut your divining rods looking for water. Cut those on St. John's Day. And herbs gathered on St. John's Day have more power. And so in Germany, they're called Johanneskraut, St. John's herbs. And, you know, you have St. John's wort, which is one of those herbs that probably was collected on St. John's Day. But in Scandinavian Slavic countries, it's an ancient superstition that on St. John's Day, witches and demons are allowed to roam the earth. So it's like another Halloween, and children go out and demand treats. And straw figures are thrown into fires, and much noise is made to drive the demons away. So that's St. John's Day, and it's connected with our St. John's Day, which is in June.
June 24th.
And Big Jim, when I was writing up this thing, I thought, well, I'll see what the Internet has about St. John's Day. There's a blog by Big Jim.
Really?
So,
we've been, you know what's interesting, because Big Jim has been doing stuff for the Star.
Yeah.
And we've been linking.
That's the blog.
Yeah, we've been linking his stuff to our Facebook page. So, folks, if you haven't liked the Fred and Jeff Facebook page, you'll see Big Jim's blog entries.
You can find that link.
Have you considered doing a blog like that, of all this kind of cool stuff that's happening?
I'm going to be
there?
Doing a blog for Rio Nuevo Publishers. I'm an editor part time. That's why I said I'm not really retired, but I'm an editor for, and I actually edited Big Jim's most recent book called A Border Runs Through It, which is the best of his KUAT stories, illustrated by Dave Fitzsimmons.
Very fun.
So those two had never met. I knew them both for years and years, and they never met till they got to work on that book. But
well, so if you do consider doing a blog, you know, updating stuff, one of the things we didn't have time to talk about today, which is very timely, is Mexican independence.
Yes.
And you had just mentioned that you were down in Tubac?
Tubac. And the Mexican consul and his wife were in the audience.
Nice.
And my host made the mistake of telling me that before I started talking.
Why did that? Oh, it made you nervous?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm preaching to the choir.
Right.
You know?
That's awesome.
There's this gringo talking about Mexican Independence Day. But I also talked about what's the difference between Cinco de Mayo and Día 16 de Septiembre and El Grito, which is Cinco de Mayo is the Battle of Puebla
It's a single battle.
And it's more popular in the United States, actually. And recently, it's the beer companies that have, like St. Patrick's Day, it's an opportunity to sell beer.
Right. But then what are the other two?
Well, there's just El Grito happened on Día 16 de Septiembre. The 16th of September, Father Hidalgo, in his church, he knew he was going to get arrested anyway for things that he'd been talking about,
being
revolution.
Subversive.
So he just called the parishioners in. It was a Sunday. And instead of giving a sermon, he said, Viva el Señora Guadalupe and Viva America, which was part of, and Death to Bad Government. And muerto a la whatever it is, and the parishioners responded, death to the Gachupines. And those are the Spaniards from Europe who ran Spain for the king. So the ones born in the United States were not pure Spaniards. They weren't Gachupinas. So they kicked out. And that was the first revolution.
God, lots of stuff. You know, we love it when you come on the show. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Keeping our history straight so Fred and I aren't out there telling people the wrong stuff. It's so important.
Trying to make it simpler, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. All right, folks, that's the end of this Sunday's Fred and Jeff Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. And if you remember the name of the book by Harold Bell Wright, if you are the first person to email the name of that book to Fred, we got a $25 gift certificate for you to 1702. So have a great, great week, folks. Get out and meet your neighbors. Make Tucson, that makes Tucson a great place to be. And we'll see it. We'll talk to you next week here on
there
the Fred and Jeff Show.
Rain, 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 rain. Just keep coming down. I haven't seen my baby. Let it down.